All right, I want to minister to us further today. I call this Get Ready, and I won't keep you long. So if you would please go back to Psalm 126. I want to minister further on this theme, Get Ready, and I want to focus a lot more on expectation, the power of expectation. I know that's really where the Lord has us in this season, and I know there's a reason why, so I'm going to trust God that he gives us illumination. I think we should give more light to the, let's give more light to the congregation, please. So thank you guys. God bless you. I know you are a little short-handed today, but you guys are doing amazing. They're having to fill in for multiple people who are absent today. Praise God. All right, in Psalm 126, from verse 1, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And then he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears, it says, shall reap in joy. And he that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his harvests with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the Lord has a desire and a plan to fulfill our dreams. The Lord wants to fulfill our dreams. He wants to fulfill the dreams of his people. I encourage you from time to time to close your eyes and just pull up your dreams from your heart or wherever you have them kept tucked away. Pull up those dreams from time to time and just think about them. Those things that you dreamt about, those things that the Lord has put in your heart that you desire for him to do in your future. And as you pull those dreams up, I want you to join in faith. Join in faith, expecting that he is able to do beyond your expectation and beyond those dreams that are in your heart. In one of the translations, literal translations, the Bible actually says that God wants to do spectacular things in our lives. Amen. That means the Lord wants to make us a spectacle. Amen. It means that what he does in our lives can be so big that it's difficult to comprehend naturally. It's difficult to wrap our minds around it. And the Lord is in the business of doing that, and I know he wants to continue to do that in our lives. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But notice one of the keys to being able to enjoy the great things of God, the spectacular things of God, and the supernatural things of God, the suddenlies of God, is what he refers to in verse 5. He says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then in verse 6, he says, he that goes forth and weeps, bringing precious seed. One of the keys to being able to enjoy the best of God in our lives is that we ourselves must give God continually. We must give God the best seeds of our lives. We must give God the best seeds of our lives. I remember when I started talking about this, someone said to me, you know, I never thought about it in that way, that the best seeds of my life were not just money. You know, because many times in the body of Christ, in churches, when we talk about the seeds, you know, sowing your seed, most of the time we think about money. Yes, money definitely is a seed, but money is just a type of seed. There's so many other seeds, like you have mango is a seed, pawpaw has a seed, orange has a seed, apple has a seed. But you can't just look at that apple and think the only thing that refers to seed is the seed of the apple. Amen? There are so many kinds of seeds that the Lord has given us as his people. And all of these seeds carry weights before the Lord. Now, I know the seed of money, one of the reasons the seed of money is so significant is because a lot of times where our hearts are, that usually is reflected by where our money is. Jesus himself said it, say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So most of the time, in order for us to sow the seed of money, a lot of times that actually does have an impact, a very significant impact on our heart. A lot of times, the seed of money, financial seeds, usually are the more difficult seeds to sow. But they are not the only seeds that can be sown. Giving God the best seeds of your life also talks about giving him your passion, your best passion, your energy, your talents, your time, your natural and material resources. All of these are seeds. Investing your energy and your talents and your skills in the things of God, that's part of investing seeds. That's part of sowing seeds. And when we make a habitual practice of giving God the best seeds of our lives, we actually put ourselves in position to enjoy spectacular things, not just average things. Everything God does is a blessing. But there are things that the Lord does in many of our lives, and you have to stop and pause, and you go, wow, wow. And you just can't get over it. You just can't get over it. And things like that don't happen every day. They don't happen all the time. But every now and then, in different seasons of our lives, you come to a point and you look at something the Lord's just done and you go, wow, wow. And you just can't get over it. Hallelujah. And that's spectacular. And in order for us to be positioned to enjoy the spectacular things and the spectacular workings of God, giving God the best seeds of our lives is mandatory, is required. Amen. Now, in giving God and having given God the best seeds of our lives, which I know a lot of us already practice, then there is something else that is very important, which is expectation. You have to believe, and I pray that this, like I said in the earlier service, in the Akron guys actually just, there were not too many of them there, but they actually, boy, they just, I mean, that service just exploded. Boy, I didn't want to leave. I'm telling you, I did not want to leave. But I kept thinking, I have to preach in Cleveland, because I didn't tell them I wasn't coming to preach in Cleveland today, so I don't want to get fired. So, so I thought, I'll just wrap up my message and come anyhow. But boy, those guys got me, there were not many of them there. They just got me so fired up in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So fired up in the Word of God. This is very important. I do pray that this becomes a revelation to you. The whole concept of expectation, having your expectation in God, has to become a revelation to you. It can't just be something you hear the preachers talk about. You hear the different preachers who minister talk about it. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah, expect. No, no, this has to be a deep revelation in your heart. I'm very blessed by the confession, an aspect of the confession that the Lord gave us for 2019. There's about three or so paragraphs there that actually just strongly talk about expectation. And the amazing thing about it is, at the turn of the year, when the Lord actually spoke those words out prophetically, and I heard those words, I'm telling you, truly, the world was going down. It was, everything was spinning downwards, the wrong way. And then I heard the Lord say, whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, we win. I mean, and at the time that I heard the Lord say that prophetically, everything was spinning out of control. Everything was spinning down. Everything was looking down, 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 down. Hallelujah. And the Lord said it. I said it. Said this to you a few weeks ago here. When God spoke to his servant, Elijah, and told him to declare, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I mean, there had not been a drop of water from the skies in 3.5 years. There had not been one drop of water from the skies in 3.5 years. And the Lord said to this man to declare to the king of the nation, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then that man, when the king, he said to the king, you go and eat. You go and eat and you drink, you celebrate. But then that man went on to, up to the top of the mountain and went to put his expectation to work. Hallelujah. Amen. He went to put his expectation to work. And when he got there and he started laboring in the spirit, and he started laboring, and the Bible describes it in very, very graphic ways. And then he called his servant and said to the servant, go check. Is there rain? And the servant came and said, no, nothing. Nothing. But notice, he kept saying to the servant, go back. Every time the servant came and said, there is nothing, he said to the servant, go back and check. And he stayed, he kept his position, telling me that if he had sent his servant 100 times and the servant came back and said, there is nothing, he would have kept his position and kept telling him, go back, go back. See, that is the power of expectation. That is the power of expectation. That I just know what God said is powerful enough to change what I see. I know that what God said is powerful enough to change what I've heard. I know that. And that's also part of why it's very important in Psalm 62 verse 5. The psalmist said, my soul, he was talking to himself. He said, my soul, you wait on God only. Wait only upon the Lord, for my expectation is from him. So my expectation is not from something that I see. My expectation is not from something that I heard. It's not from something someone said to me, a promise somebody gave to me. No, 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 no. My expectation is from God himself. He says, you soul, and we all ought to do that from time to time. We ought to speak to ourselves. When God said there's a sound of abundance of rain, and you look out, and it's as dry as it has ever been. You know, if you've had dryness for 3 years, and then God says there's going to be rain, do you know the next month after that thing God said is going to be drier? Do you know that? If God tells you on the 3-year mark, after there's been famine for 3 years, and God says there's going to be rain, do you know 3 years plus 1 month, that famine will be worse than it was when the Lord first talked to you about rain? Do you know that? Things will be drier. 2 months after that, things will be drier still. It gets worse. And yet the Lord said, there's going to be an abundance of rain. So at that point, you've got to make a decision about what you are going to believe. And your expectation, glory to God. That's why I love what Proverbs 23:18 said in the Amplified. It says, surely there is a latter end and a future. Hallelujah. He says, and your hope, the hope and the expectation of the righteous will never be cut off. See, surely there is a latter end and there is a future. And this is not the end. Whatever you see right now is not the end. Whatever you have or you are experiencing right now is not the end. He says, surely there is a latter end and a future, and the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. Do you know, expectation keeps you from sliding into shame? I said in that earlier service in Akron, when there is expectation in your heart, even when shame comes close, and comes, gets very close and tries to attach itself to you, expectation will say, stop, no way here. As long as you have expectation, you cannot suffer shame. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation, that in nothing will I be ashamed. Nothing. In nothing will I be ashamed. He said, but with all boldness, as it has ever been, God, Jesus himself, will be magnified through my body, whether through life or through death, it doesn't matter.
whether it's through life, whatever comes, Jesus will be magnified through my life because I have earnest expectation. Expectation guarantees that you will live a shame-free life. Hallelujah. So regardless of what the world throws at you, regardless of what society throws at you, regardless of what you experience, when you have expectation in God, you are guaranteed a shame-free life. A shame-free life. Somebody say, I have a shame-free life. Say it again, I have a shame-free life. I want you to keep in mind, your expectation determines how much God can do in your life. God wants to fulfill our dreams. God wants to fulfill his word in our lives. But he's limited or enhanced by the expectation in our heart. When you have a strong expectation in God, the Lord is committed. That's why I said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I have the plan. I know the plans I have. They're good, good thoughts, good plans to bring you to an expected end. The end you expect. Whatever you expect, that's what you're going to get. If you expect life is going to be good, life is going to be good. Hallelujah. And I remember at the time when the Lord gave us this confession, this prophetic words at the turn of the year into the new year, there was nothing good happening. There was nothing good. I'm telling you right now. This last Christmas, 2018 Christmas, probably my most difficult Christmas in a long time. Most difficult. I mean most difficult in a long time. And yet I heard the Lord say, something good is about to happen to you. And I put it everywhere. It's in the confession. I wrote two books at the end of the year. I put it on both books. Something good is about to happen to you. And at the time that I was writing that, there was nothing good happening. But expectation was flowing like blood through my veins. I expect something good. See, look at that line. Look at those paragraphs. Whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, we win. The victory that overcomes the world resides within me. The greater one reigns through me. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. All things, now that's the power, that is expectation speaking there. All things are working together for my good and fitting into his flawless plan for my life. The hand of the Lord God is upon me for good. His covenant with our family is forever good and secure. Surely he will favor me and perfect everything that concerns me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God will be good to us because he is the portion of our inheritance. Therefore, we will arise and build and we will put his kingdom first and foremost. I have a portion. I have a right. I have a memorial in God. And something good is about to happen to me. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. I'm getting ready for it. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Now that's just setting me on fire again, all over again. Every time I read those words, it's just putting some flame of fire underneath me. I'm expecting it. I'm looking for it. I'm getting ready for it. Something good is about to happen to me. And I declare the same thing to you today. Something good is about to happen to you. I said something good is about to happen to you. You don't look to me like you have expectation. You know people who have expectation, when they hear something that good, they say, oh, yeah, yeah. That's what they did to me in Akron. Say something good is about to happen to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to go with me to 1 Kings 17. Let me spend my last few minutes there. My prayer for you is that this becomes a very major revelation in your life. And one of the reasons this is very important is, I'm not just talking about when you go through seasons. For instance, we go through seasons in our lives where we're not being tested, everything is just nice and calm, even then, you ought to be cranking up your expectation for better. Because wherever you are right now, God still has something better. Yes, you haven't experienced God's best yet. You haven't experienced God's best yet. You can't say, oh, well, yeah, Pastor, yeah, I know, praise God. You know, I don't have financial troubles. Glory to God. My children are acting right. Praise God. Ooh, my house is paid off. My car is paid off. I just got a promotion at work. Glory to God. Pastor, life is so good. Praise God. Life is so good. Good. But you ought to be expecting better. Because you haven't experienced God's best yet. Hallelujah. And if on the other hand, though, you are on the other side of the equation and everything just looks bad right now. I mean, you are going through one of the most difficult testings of your life. Even then, remind yourself, this is not the end. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is not the end. God has a good plan for you. God has a future that is better than anything you have ever yet experienced in your life. And that ought to become a revelation in your heart. Like, I believe it. Now, I don't know exactly how this part of it turns out. I don't know exactly how this other part of it turns out. But one thing I do know, when this is all over, we win, brother. We are on the winning side, glory to God. We are on the winning side, hallelujah. Oh, this ought to be a huge revelation in your spirit. You ought to be deeply. Because life continues to move on, and even when you go from one season of victory, right after that season of victory, there's yet another testing season. That's the way life works. I mean, while you are still celebrating, while you're still celebrating whatever your breakthrough, your blessings, whatever, it's just a few days after that, another testing comes. This story of these two people in this scripture here just blessed me so much in the few minutes that I have. Let me try to say a couple of things about it, and then we'll take communion together. I personally believe that one of the things that the Lord is doing in this season, by speaking to us so strongly about the power of expectation, is He's seeking to crank up our expectation. He's seeking to challenge our expectation. I really believe that. Because, you know, sometimes we all slide. And sometimes if you are not careful, your expectation is down, 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 down there. And, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. And sometimes God will send a servant or the other of His to say to you, hey, son, daughter, stir up your expectation. Crank up your expectation. I believe that's part of what the Lord is doing for us in this season. I believe that. I believe that. Hallelujah. If you are like that widow that this servant of God met in 1 Kings 17, and when he showed up, he said, hey, woman, go make me a cake. This was right in the middle of the famine. There had been no water, no rain. Everything was drying up. I mean, that would test your expectation real good. When everything you know about how life is supposed to be is different. It's just different. Even your cat and your dog are unhappy at home. That would test your expectation. Your boss, who is usually nice to you, is suddenly, you know, kind of, you know, just doesn't want to see you. You know? Your car starts giving you trouble. Your spouse starts acting up. Children start looking different. Places where you succeed, usually, without even trying, suddenly, failure stares you in the face. That would test your expectation. People who usually like to hear from you. You call them and they say, whoa, I was just thinking about you. I've been wanting to call you the last 2 weeks. They won't even pick your calls. I mean, you become a byword and a shame. That would test your expectation. Places where you've been celebrated. Suddenly, they don't even think you are worth anything. That will test your expectation. And when this man of God showed up, this woman was not in a very good place. God used that woman to make a provision for this man of God in the famine, but actually God sent this man of God to this woman, this widow, to stir up her expectation and belief for a future. Her expectation was in the little they had left. When the man of God said, go make me a cake. She said, man of God, I don't have a cake, I just have this very tiny little thing. My son and I are going to eat that and we are going to die. Her expectation had come to zero. Everything about her future could be summed up in what she had left in her retirement plan. We'll just exhaust this and it's over. And God sent that man of God to her to tell her, stop looking at that. Stop looking at that little. This is not the end. The man of God said, according to the word of the Lord, said, the barrel of meal will not fail. Ha! In the famine, the barrel of meal will not fail. Man, that will challenge your expectation. The cruse of oil will not go dry in the famine. And this woman is saying, we just want to eat the last bit we have left and then we'll just die. My son and I will just die. I don't know what your last bit is. I don't know where you have put your expectation. You know, as human beings, we all put our expectations in places, in things, in somewhere there, out there. Somewhere out there where we feel comfortable. Like this widow woman, the expectation is in this little that I have left. And once we eat this little, we'll die. The man of God said, no, you are not going to die. This is not the end. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Surely there is a latter end and a future, and the expectation and the hope of a righteous will never be cut off. Will never be cut off. This is not the end for you. Just say, oh, pastor, you know, this last $500, that's it. We've stretched everything. We've stretched everything. This is it. This last $500. Once this $500 is over, we are done. You are not done. You are not done. This relationship, this thing that I lean on, this skill that I have, this once is taken away from me, that's it, I'm off. No, you are not done. You are not done. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. The Bible says the expectation of the right. You stand back and watch God. Like God said through Moses, he said, you watch God. You see the salvation of the Lord. No. Yeah, no, sometimes it's easy to be fixated on what we have. I hope your job is not your expectation. I hope so. I hope that job is not where your expectation is. Because the devil knows to take it away. He knows how. He's so cunning. He's so skillful. He knows how to go to the heart of the things that are most precious in your life, the things where you've invested your heart and your life. He knows how to go there and take it away from you. And if that's where your expectation is, you are in trouble. The psalmist said, my soul, he talked to himself. My soul, you wait on God only. Psalm 62 verse 5. You wait on God only. For my expectation is from him. You wait on God. I tell you, this widow woman, I can almost imagine this man of God saying to her, hey. Can you imagine through the famine, they had all these stores that they had piled up and they had And little by little, they were exhausting the stores. Can you imagine every day that widow woman went into the store and she would look and, all right, this should last us. They say there will be rain. Hopefully, this should take us another 2 years. And after 1.5 years, 18 months, no rain still. She comes in there and there's 6 months left. Oh, well, they said there will be rain in the next 2 weeks. Let's trust. We believe hope. And 2 weeks passes. 1 month passes. Another 3 months pass. Now the thing is down to the last 3 months supply. Can you imagine how that woman measures that thing every day she goes in that room? Can you imagine? She measures it with as much accuracy and precision as you can imagine. To the last cup. To the last cup. And when that man of God showed up, she said, "Man of God, there's just one last cup that we're going to make this little whatever for my son and I, and after that we're going to die." Her expectation had been in that thing all these years of the famine. As she looked every day and as that thing reduced, her expectation was going down, going down, going down, until she, finally she thought, well, we only have one more day to live. Not because God said that, but because where they put their expectation suggested that to them. Can I ask you where your expectation is this morning? Can I ask you where your expectation lies today? Because God is sending you this word to challenge you. Do you know God has a plan for every season of your life? The famine came. God said to the man of God, "Go to the brook." And he told him exactly the brook to go to. He told him from, what verse is this? Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. "Turn eastward. Go hide by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Drink of the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there." It was there for a few months, and suddenly the brook dried up. Do you know that before the brook dried up, God had a plan? Yes. Do you know that? Yes. This is such a deep revelation in my life. Yes. I'm telling you, yes. I pray it can become a revelation in your heart as well. This is such a deep revelation inside of my heart. Do you know that long before your brook dries up, God already had a different plan? Yes. Do you know that? Yes. And if you are listening, He'll be saying things to you if you are writing, if you know how to write things and you know how to pay attention and to listen. Long before that brook dries up, he will be telling you, "Do this and do this and do this." And you may not even know. He's preparing you for life after the brook. You may have no idea that's what he's doing. But if your expectation is in him, where you know no matter what happens, whether life goes up or down, when this is all over, I win. I believe something good is going to happen to me. I believe God will be good to us. I believe his covenant with our family is forever good and secure. I believe God is the portion of my inheritance. I know I have a portion, I have a memorial, I have a right in God. I know something good is going to happen to me. Something good. Now you may be saying all of that, thinking all of that, praying all of that, preaching all of that, prophesying all of that, and the only thing you see is dryness. But because this expectation is flowing through your veins, it doesn't really matter what you see. You just know somewhere, somehow, God is going to turn this around. And what I see is going to eventually line up with what God said. I know what I see is going to eventually line up with what God said. God has a plan. Long before the brook dried up, he knew where his next sustenance was going to be. And when the brook dried up, and you know, as humans, many times, we're creatures of habit. You get a salary, Your life revolves around that salary if you're not careful. Everything, you plan everything around that salary. And you plan it to the last dime. Like that widow woman. The storehouse, everything is measured in there to the last cup. And in a lot of our minds, once that last cup is exhausted, we die. God is challenging you this morning. Gotta close. See, I can't see the clock because of this carpet. The carpet is stopping me. The carpet is preventing me from seeing that clock. Gotta close. We gotta do communion. Are you getting something, though? Gotta close right here. Gotta close right here. I pray for you that this becomes a revelation in your life. That this becomes a deep revelation in your life. So whatever crutch you have that you've leaned on for so long, you can just let that crutch. Do you know faith requires action many times? And sometimes you don't know how healed you are until you let go of what was carrying you. Do you know that? Do you know that? You don't know you can walk until you get up from your wheelchair. You don't know. How can you tell you can walk? If you don't get up from that wheelchair and actually take a step, you can't tell. But that wheelchair can become such a comfort place for us that we feel so comfortable in there. Like, yeah, I'm cool. Just leave me here. I'm good. No, you are not. God has better for you. Amen. I say God has better for you. Amen. I pray this becomes a strong expectation in your life. That every single day of your life, those words in that confession will reverberate through your spirit. The Lord will be good to me. The Lord will be good to me. I don't know how this one is going to turn out. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how we're going to walk this. I have no idea how this is. I don't have no clue where this is going. But I know the Lord will be good to me. The Lord will be good to me. The Lord will be good to me. Can you stand to your feet and just speak that over yourself like the psalmist did. Let's close right here.